A beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Arrow Squad, this is The Flash.
And this is The Chameleon.
And we have someone else with us tonight.
Do we have another hero or villain in the room?
Who's there? Who's hanging out with us tonight?
Who is it? Show yourself.
It might be Harley Quinn.
No way.
We have another villain automatically on my side. I have claimed you.
Hold on here. Here I was thinking that this was going to be a fun idea because there's no Legends of Tomorrow this week. I thought bringing my co-host over from our show would have been fun. And now you've got me rethinking that. Two villainesses.
It's too late now.
Oh, squad, help me out. I'm going to be in trouble tonight.
Jess, thank you for joining us. I'm so excited. The Flash gets to record with you all the time, but this is a real treat for me.
I know. I'm really excited to come on here. It's been a while since I've been on Arrow Squad, and I'm really excited to get to meet you, Cammy. So this is pretty awesome. Thanks for inviting me over, Flash.
No problem. Great to have you on here.
And this is a really exciting episode for you to be talking with us about, because now we've got like the whole hero and villain mix. And the whole theme of this episode was like, who is still a hero and who might actually be a villain? So I think this is perfect.
Amazing. I'm excited.
We are. Well, let's get into it. This is Arrow Squad Season 5, Episode 15, Fighting Fire with Fire. And actually, it's not Arrow Squad. It's the TV show Arrow. But you know what I mean.
We are the Arrow Squad.
We are the Arrow Squad. So welcome, everybody. Let's dive into it, guys. What are your ratings and feelings for this show, Cammy?
Oh, do I get to start?
You can start this week, sure.
Okay. I gave this episode a 6 out of 10, but... I you have to let me break down my rating this week. Can I break it down into two parts?
Pretty please. You can break it down.
Okay. So the micro writing for this episode, I gave it an 8 out of 10. And the macro writing, I gave it a 4 out of 10. So micro writing, I'm meaning like individual lines, back and forth dialogue. And then macro writing, I mean like the overall plot of where everything's going, where this fits into the overall big story. You guys get what I'm saying. So okay. Micro writing, there were some moments I loved this episode. And I loved Thea's dialogue in particular, where she was kind of channeling Moira throughout. I thought the writing and the performance was fantastic. The action scenes were pretty cool, actually, with the whole new tech with Curtis's T-spheres and the writing for Felicity throughout, where she got some scenes with Diggle that I know you're going to talk about because we were both pretty excited about that, and her eventually joining Helix, which was pretty cool. All of that was pretty cool to me, like enough to, you know, on a like scene level, bump quite a lot of it up to an 8 out of 10. It goes down to a 6 because that 4 out of 10 macro drops it down because I don't really get where a lot of this fits into the hero's journey thing. I mentioned it's kind of hard to see that the same people behind Oliver, you know, selling his soul to bring back Dark Thea from the Lazarus Pit are the same people that have Oliver like telling Thea she's broken for making just mildly shady choices compared to the fact that like he's killed people this season. When she just wanted to protect him, I don't know. It was weird for me. It gave me a pause seeing him as a mayor say the Green Arrow isn't a hero, because I'm sort of on some level, I'm like, oh, you know, you're right. I'm not positive right now that he is. So I don't know. I didn't get where it fit into the overall scheme of things. Some parts really felt out of character, but I enjoyed most of the dialogue for itself.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of that stuff we're probably going to dive into as we get into the episode.
Yeah.
Well, Harley, how cheer about us yourself? Up, though.
Give me a higher rating, Harley. Well,
yes, because I'm looking at the ratings here, and I think it's going to go for a low blow to a face slap, and I'm going to come somewhere in the middle. So, Harley, why don't you go next? We're going to go from low to high.
All right. Well, I gave this episode 9 telegraphed vigilantes out of 10. I always give a funny rating.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And so I was totally sucked into this episode. So as I have a tendency to do, especially with this show, I totally just get to be along for the ride. And so I don't always pick up on some of the nitpicky things because I just get so caught up in it and I want to see what's going to happen. So I did not at all see the Prometheus reveal coming. They completely faked me out with it. So that was pretty exciting. And then one of the problems, though, that I've continued to have is actually with Curtis and this whole divorce storyline. And one, you could see that coming a mile away. But this whole storyline to me is like the most unbelievable thing, just because I don't really believe that he would all of a sudden become so invested in Team Arrow that he would choose them over his husband. So that is just continuing to bother me. And so since they brought it up in the episode with them, you know, now wanting to get divorced, and I'm like, I'm not buying this. And so that would probably, if I had to pick a nitpick overall, that would probably be one of my biggest ones. Mm-hmm. But overall, it was a great ride. They kind of turned this whole Susan storyline around for me personally. I'm actually kind of a little nervous for her based on the ending. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, we got a bit of a Susan supporter here. That's risky.
I know, and I will explain myself later in the episode because I've been listening to your comments, and I'm not going to lie. I agreed with all of them, and then they turned it around for me this episode. So okay. I will explain myself later.
Okay.
And that's it. Flash, what did you think?
Well, I'm going to land squarely in the middle of my two fine villainesses here. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 balls of steel. And I tell you, for me, oh man, did the writers hire a comedian in their midst suddenly? Because where did all this great humor and snippy remarks come from? This was probably one of the funniest episodes we've had in a long while. I mean, all the T-sphere ball jokes, just cracking me up. The situational humor, like Dinah in the mayor's office, should I be in here? You know, stuff like that. to Felicity sticking her foot in her mouth with Diggle like she used to with Oliver. So can we get you off? it's just
that
great.
Was the best line.
Yeah, just so many great moments that the humor was just top notch. Overall, again, it's just a smooth flowing episode, continuing the story on all fronts. I mean, there was definitely some WTF moments in there that brought a lot of questions up, but we'll get into those. So for me, it was just the humor. It kept me invested all the way through. And I had a good time.
That's good. I like hearing your reviews, both of you guys, because it kind of like highlights a lot of the more positive stuff that maybe can kind of get lost in the cracks when you start to fixate on one little negative bit here and there. So I like that.
Right. Well, and that kind of happens in life too, doesn't it? You could have 10 happy moments and the one negative thing kind of overtakes all of that sometimes. And it's really, really hard to stay focused. So I'm sure, Cammy, there has to be something in this episode that you liked. Give us a favorite moment.
I did. I actually had a hard time picking a favorite moment because there were a couple in there that really stood out to me. The runner-up was the Felicity and Diggle scenes, but the scene that actually won favorite moment for me was the scene in the limo where Thea's sort of proposing admittedly a shady approach to pinning the blame on Malone, a dead man. but I was so mesmerized in that scene. It was amazing to watch her behavior and her mannerism, her tone of voice, and the writing was really on point for that as well. She just morphed into Moira Queen. it was like watching baby Moira Queen, and it was so cool to see. And you kind of just watch that knowing how much effort was put into that, both from a performance standpoint and a writing standpoint, that they really were very intentional about what her motivation is and what her sort of mental space is in that moment when she's getting very political. I know we've talked a lot on this show about how the political sphere has seemed like such a good fit for Thea. And I really think it sort of all comes to a head in this episode where we see her there really engaging in, you know, kind of, she really knows what she can do to protect the team. And that's what she's trying to do in a similar way to how Moira protected her children and eventually died for it. So it's sort of a morbid thing to see Thea start to do that, because there is that fear that, like, you know, you continue down this path, you're going to kill yourself protecting people. But it tied really, because it was such a gray area, how Arrow as a show is, I thought it tied really well into that overall theme of, you know, what's hero behavior? What counts as being a hero? Is it the means or the end? Or I don't know. It was pretty cool.
Cool. No, I don't disagree with you. That was very interesting to see her kind of turning that corner. I mean, we saw her kind of going that way, but tonight, or this week's episode, it really, really showed her really taking that walk, step through the doorway of not really worrying about the moves that she's making or the decisions that she's making to help Oliver out. There seemed to be, I don't know if it was callousness or just lack of concern. It didn't matter to her who she stepped on.
I think it came to her to a place where, similar to how Moira would do anything for her kids, with Thea, Oliver is sort of her last remaining family member other than Malcolm, which I don't think really counts in that same space for her. Mm-hmm. And for Oliver, certainly Thea is his last, you know, remaining family member other than William, who he's, you know, we all seem to forget that William exists.
William, who's that?
I did.
Right. In the context of the core characters of the show, Oliver and Thea only have each other really in terms of remaining family. And that's why in previous seasons, we've seen Oliver willing to, you know, basically sell his soul to get Thea into the Lazarus pit, even knowing that it could resurrect her without a soul. And then, you know, we now have Thea willing to do quite not as what she's doing now. Despite how it was sort of reacted to by a lot of the other characters, what she's doing is not as dark as what Oliver's done to protect her. She's not killing anybody, but it is still dark. It is still a dark turn for her. And I think that that's just interesting to see, because we have seen Oliver sacrifice so much for her and be willing to go dark for her. So this was sort of her response to that, where it would not faze her at all to, you know, tarnish the memory of a dead man in order to protect her brother. That's quite in character for her.
Yeah, exactly. And I think actually we've got some more to talk about Thea later on in our episode, even though we were almost kind of diving into it just now. But yeah, definitely, let's come back to that as parts of that episode show up.
Sure. You guys go next. Tell me what's your highlight or your multiple highlights.
Go for it, Harley.
All right. Well, for me, the biggest highlight was the reveal. I was convinced that Chase was actually a vigilante.
So was I.
And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what the writers wanted, especially they had that whole scene where he takes the piece of the visor from Dinah literally before he reveals himself to be Prometheus. And I was like, that's him. He's vigilante. That's it. And then you see that great fight scene at the very end. You know, he takes off the mask. And we figure out who it is. I mean, it was so good.
It was pretty cool.
And that music, like the Prometheus music, it just like makes the hair on the back of my neck like stand up. And so like when they're like playing that, and then you get to see who he is, and then it comes back in at the very end of the episode. Oh, it was so good.
Well, cool. I think maybe like we do over on Tomorrow's Legends, maybe we'll help bump up my feeling about that. Because when we talk about that a little further in the episode as well, I was a little bit off put by parts of that scene. So we'll get into that as well, because I want to see if you can turn me around on that moment.
Sure. I'll do my best.
Yeah.
I usually end up
That would be a cool switch of roles. Usually you're the one coming in and having to like be the optimistic one. This time you can be pessimistic and then you'll get sounds cheered good. Up.
How
why
funny
is the villain the shining ray of light here?
Right?
Yeah, see?
We're just having to multitask, I guess.
Well, we're kind of just picking up on the themes of the episode because we're...
It's true.
The show's not really sure who's a hero and who's a villain right now, so...
Yeah, I think it's so interesting right now, the themes they're playing with, where I think a lot of the villains really think that they are heroes, and the heroes are certainly questioning how anti-villainy they're, or anti-hero-y they can go, so mm-hmm. it's
that's
interesting.
What makes a good villain, right? Every
oh,
good
for
villain
sure.
thinks they're the hero.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they never think they're doing anything wrong. They think they're sad. Doing the right thing, so...
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, Flash, you tell us what your shining moment is. What scene were you not pessimistic about?
Oh, I totally have a shining moment in this. I absolutely loved the hospital scene with Nurse Schwartz. I loved mm-hmm. her. It was so cool that they acknowledged her knowing his secret and also keeping it, and that he totally trusts her. And without even showing us, because we haven't seen many scenes with her over the seasons, but you could feel that their relationship has grown deep enough that she can give him advice as a friend, not just as his doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So it just mm-hmm. felt like it's grown over all these years. It was such a fantastic moment, and you could see that he was so at ease and comfortable with her, and she was just there. I'm your, not just your personal physician, I'm kind of your guardian, I'm kind of your friend, and I'm going to make sure you take care of yourself. This is what you need to do. And she just, and I loved it. I absolutely loved that scene with her. I that makes me want to see more of her.
Yeah.
Do you know who she reminded me of?
Nope.
She reminded me of, who was, Reza in season one?
Remind me.
Who, she was like the maid slash housekeeper slash nanny. That, like, even when Moira was sort of being cold to him, Reza was, like, she cared for him and believed in him. And they had, like, a really cool relationship. You could tell she sort of, like, half-raised him.
Hmm. Interesting. I don't recall.
I think she was in one or two episodes only. But it was a really cool role that she filled. Yeah.
Did you feel the same, Harley? You were about to say?
Oh, about this scene? Yeah, I loved this scene. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't... I'm pretty sure it's the same actress that's played her this whole time. She looked familiar. We just haven't seen a lot of her, but I don't know. That's the feeling it gave me. It felt very comfortable, very familiar with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get into, we have a little bit of pre-show feedback. And before I read through this, I have to say, Chameleon, you're sounding so much better tonight. What's going on?
It's because I'm right behind you. No, I'm kidding. I hope that scared somebody a little bit. No, I got a new mic, you guys. I'm one step closer to taking over the world.
Uh-oh.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
So we got some pre-show feedback. Again, this came in after our last week's episode, and it's just such an awesome blog post. I kind of wanted to read through some of it. Because it's from our friend Erin, and she says, I love the blog post photo. That was great synchronized walk in that scene. She was saying, for me, the Flash, to be happy that I've got her into this whole new Black Canary campaign, although she wouldn't mind Cammy's casting role for Trisha Helfer as Dinah's girlfriend either.
Yeah! Woo!
So she's kind
the
of agreeing.
Crowd goes wild.
Exactly. She's just kind of agreeing with me that I think she looks like Dinah looks a lot like Trisha Helfer, and you know, just the actress Juliana Harkavy, I think it's Harkavy, how great a role she's playing. So she's just in total agreement with us, and I thought that was kind of great. She hopes that she continues along in this series. She was also saying she agrees with the running theme, or there's a running theme of her agreeing with both of us, because she agreed with me in the sense that China White felt very bland last episode and could easily have been replaced by any other villainess or lackey, basically. Cupid was clearly the humor and the wild card, and Liza felt more like the boss. And then she was right along you with saying she would love to have Helena back, because she thinks she's an anti-hero, not quite a true villain, but she would really love to have some more scenes with her, and hopefully her with our new Dinah, because it's very
I am birds team of prey. Helena returns as the big final boss.
That would be awesome. Anyway, she had quite a bit to say. It was quite a long post, but I'm just kind of skimming through it here. And she's kind of hoping you're wrong about Diggle and Dinah because she still likes Lila and Diggle.
So, I love Lila as well, for the record.
Yeah. And she is coming back, is she not? We've got her coming on an episode soon, right?
She is, yes. Okay. She was actually just filming, I think, 2 weeks ago. And I don't know if she still is filming Audrey, who plays Lila. So we can look forward to more Lila coming up. I'm pretty excited about that. I think it will bring Diggle's storyline to the forefront. Sorry to interrupt. I got excited.
No, that's Lila. Good. I wanted to mention Lila because we actually haven't had a chance to talk a lot about her because she hasn't been here. And I'm actually finding that I'm missing having her come around on the show because it really... It helps ground Diggle for us that he is a family man and that just the interactions between the two. They were a very believable couple on screen, and I'm kind of missing seeing that once in a while.
Yeah, it brings some stability, I think, to see the Diggle family continue to exist on screen, especially with a lot of the new additions have been, you know, like kind of these young new kids on the team. So having older team members around who are, you know, stable, married, have families, and, you know, they have kids and, or a kid so far, I think it'd be cool to show that again. And, you know, David mentioned at a con a couple months ago that he finds that sort of Diggle and Lila sort of parallel what Oliver and Felicity were looking for, you know, in their relationship, which obviously fell apart, but it is sort of like the goal that people look towards. So I think it'd be cool to see that goal on screen.
Mm-hmm. So just to get back to her blog post, she had a couple points about she thought it'd be funny to see Black Canary in the actual comic book costume that I mentioned, the fishnets, but she doesn't think it suits Dinah. She was agreeing with you that Dinah Drake, as we're seeing her, is suiting the outfit that she has on. And then for you and me, Harley, she actually made a mention about she'll have to talk Legends of Tomorrow with us if we start talking about Nyssa more, because she believes she's kind of wondering why Sarah has not mentioned Nyssa yet or asked about her. And she's hoping that maybe someday she could guest star or even Talia could guest on Legends for Sarah to encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could get some scenes with either Talia or Nyssa on Legends. So I like that idea as well.
I like that idea too.
I like the idea of Nyssa.
Anyway, but thanks, Aaron, for that really, really long, in-depth blog post. Sorry, I kind of skimmed through it there, but that was just fascinating and fun to go through. So let's get to this episode. I think we're going to start with our big, big plot story.
Yes.
Story points here. Prometheus and the Vigilante. What did you want to say about that, Cammy?
Well, I think we should start with the Prometheus reveal and sort of, I kind of want to hear your thoughts on it. Okay. And then I want to hear Harley tell you why it was good. And then I'll come in with whatever my thoughts are. But also, you know, there is still some speculation we can toy with who is the Vigilante. Mm-hmm. But mostly I'm just, you know, I want to hear what your reactions were to the Prometheus scene. I kind of am curious what you were thinking right when you saw it. And now what are you thinking now that you've sort of marinated on it a little bit? And what are you hoping to see for Prometheus /spoilers, Adrian Chase going forward? What do you think is his like goal and motivation? Do we like this villain? What do we think?
Okay.
It's a lot of questions.
Yeah. And I'll see if I can hit some points on all of them. What I was trying to say in the beginning there is my feelings were a little bit mixed because I wasn't expecting it. And then when it happened, it felt a little underwhelming, and I'm not sure if that makes any sense. It was weird because it was right in the middle of the episode where something like that I would have thought they'd end the episode on, a big reveal like that. So I think what the feeling was is I was shocked. Like, they're showing him in the middle. And then I thought, why are they showing him now? Have they lost touch with this villain being the overarching story of the entire season, right? Him being the big bad. Have the writers maybe lost touch with that, so they realized, all right, let's just get this out of the way so we can continue with the season? So all of that really went through my mind so quickly when the reveal happened. I do agree with Harley. The music and the moment, it was done really, really well, really spectacularly. It just, I still just had this underwhelming feeling. Now that I've started thinking about it, I'm hoping we can dive into this a little bit, because I'm having trouble understanding and seeing why Chase would want to torture Oliver all this time. I mean, there has to be something in their past that Oliver isn't realizing or remembering that he's after Oliver about that we just haven't seen. Because I've been liking Chase, the last few episodes of Arrow Squad, I've been talking about how much I like him, and I love his loyalty and his friendship that he's shown Oliver, and the support and everything. So why?
Which I think was their goal. I think they wanted you to like him so that you would feel the betrayal that Oliver will feel.
Okay, but this is where I'm going right now, is I'm wondering if it isn't so much betrayal. Is he trying to wake Oliver up and teach him something? Because he came to Oliver's rescue.
Yeah, and I think it is definitely one of those scenarios where the villain thinks he's a hero. And the hero currently certainly thinks he's a villain. Mm-hmm. But with Adrian, I mean, it could turn out that he's completely corrupt and he just wants to watch the world burn, you know, whatever. But right now, I think he is sort of trying to play God a bit and play with Oliver's mind and play with Oliver's perception of himself. And yes, maybe sort of teach him a lesson, as is often the case with villains. I think that is a lot of times their goal, is to show the world their way of thinking, or to teach the world why it's, you know, awful and should have treated them better, whatever the case may be. But I think that was their goal, was to show that, oh, he's like this trustworthy, loyal person, duh, 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 and he's actually awful. I'm definitely with you on, I have no idea why they revealed it right now. Harley, do you have thoughts on that? Defend them. I believe in you.
And why they revealed it right now? Well, yeah. I mean, for me, the fact that they've revealed it right now, I'm now going back and, I mean, not physically watching, but kind of like rethinking and like rewatching in my mind's eye everything that we have seen this season with both Prometheus and with Chase, because we, now that we know that they're the same person, you're looking at basically like, you know, two sides of the same, it's the same story, but from two different sides. It's almost like he's playing two different characters. He's Adrian Chase by day and he's Prometheus by night. And so that's kind of just all boggling around in my head. And now that I'm having more time to think about it, it's like, okay, I kind of want to go back and almost like rewatch everything scene by scene and kind of dissect it and kind of see if I can figure out where this is going. I mean, right now, I definitely think he's just completely toying with Oliver, and he's just messing with him, because he has some end game in mind and we don't quite know what that is yet. And I mean, and then Flash, kind of like to answer your question, you're saying like, what is his kind of vendetta against Oliver? And we have to remember that Prometheus is the guy, who's the guy he murdered in season one? That's his son. I mean, we had that reveal like three episodes ago.
But that's right. Not the same guy.
What do you mean that's not the same guy? Prometheus is Chase.
Are you talking about the guy that he killed back in season one?
Yeah, so I thought that we determined that Prometheus was that guy's son, and that's why he was after Oliver.
Is Chase the son of... Because it was just one or two episodes ago where Oliver went to speak to the mother to get some information. Is Chase her son? Because I thought Chase was a different character, different person from whoever we thought was the son of
He was until he was revealed as Prometheus, right? Now they have to be the same person, right? Unless
there's multiple people being Prometheus.
Well, unless it's a red herring that was this guy's son, which I actually thought that that's where they were going with this, that maybe it was going to turn out that it wasn't this guy's son and it was, you know, just a totally different person. And in that still could be, but given what we know now, they've not contradicted that. They've set up the fact that Prometheus is his son. And so Adrian Chase must be this guy's son. So that would be why he's after him.
Right? Well, maybe. That's where I'm confused.
Who they thought he was is who he is.
Yeah. Because I thought, right. We have to look back. Who's the... Because the son that we're talking about is the son of one of the guys on the list in Oliver's book. And I thought that guy had a different name. And that, for quite a few episodes, they had thought, oh, that must be his son that's being Prometheus. Now we just have to track down the sun and we can stop Prometheus. But I thought Chase is a completely different character from whoever this guy in the book was. I didn't think it was the same person. So now that we know Chase is Prometheus, it's no longer the son of this guy in the book.
I think he still could be. He could have taken his mom's name. He could be adopted. I don't know.
Maybe it's intentionally unclear to keep the Prometheus storyline shrouded in some sort of mystery.
Yeah, maybe.
Since it is revealed kind of. I mean, it's revealed kind of early and kind of late. I know a lot of people were commenting that they expected it to be revealed at the mid-season, and it wasn't. And then, you know, we kind of thought it might be closer to the finale, and it was before that. That's why I was kind of trying to rationalize why they were revealing it now. I don't get it. I don't know why it was now all of a sudden. And then the reveal itself, the scene, again, this goes back to micro versus macro writing. The scene itself, you mentioned the music at the time was really cool. The lighting rotating around as he removes his thing, you know, that was all cool. But with Prometheus being Chase and how much we knew about Chase leading up to this versus how much we now know about him, it was just sort of like he was revealed, but it didn't really tell us much about Chase. He just sort of seemed vaguely sinister in scenes afterwards. So I wasn't so sure about how this fits into the big plot line, but the scene itself was pretty cool.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Did we manage to straighten that out? I don't want to confuse the listeners because I think I'm confused. It sounds like we're all a little bit kind of unsure.
About who Prometheus is or about who Chase is or both?
Both.
Both.
I mean, I think that's the intention of the writers. I am of the opinion that, I mean, obviously Chase is Prometheus, right? But I am of the opinion that Chase, i.e. Prometheus, is still the son of the guy from the list in season one. I cannot remember his name and it's driving me crazy.
No. Okay. Well, how about...
We talked about it before, but I don't remember.
Let's just get you then, Harley, to really revamp why that scene was so awesome for you. Let's get that going.
Okay. Harley, do you want to start?
Why I loved this scene?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, it was shocking. It took me by surprise. I was not expecting to get the reveal there. I mean, you have this awesome fight sequence just before you had the scene where you're kind of convinced, or at least I was convinced, that Chase was Vigilante. He picks up the piece of the visor. He takes it from Dinah. You're like, oh, he's totally Vigilante. He doesn't want her to find out. And then you get to this next scene where it's basically Vigilante and Prometheus confronting each other. They have this awesome fight sequence. And then you throws him off the roof. Prometheus throws Vigilante off the roof. And you're like, okay, well, where is that going? And then he turns around. The camera kind of pans around as he takes down the hood and the music playing. It was awesome.
And it just...
That's why I loved it.
I agree. I thought there was an element of comic book cheesiness to the reveal, but in a good way. And I'm normally first in line to drag comic book cheesiness, quite frankly. But the dramatic, you know, music and the turn and everything, like, it was cool because it gave viewers who are watching live at home, it gave you just enough time to like kind of stiffen up and realize they're about to show you who it is, just enough time, you know, to smack the person next to you and get in your final like guess who it is. Is it Tommy? Is it, you know, whatever.
Right.
And I thought it was just well paced. The reveal itself, the fact that this was Adrian Chase, was not entertaining to me necessarily. It wasn't like, oh, that's incredibly boring, I can't stand this, whatever. It was just fine. It was pretty anticlimactic. If they had given us a little bit more information about Adrian prior to this, other than like, oh, he's loyal and good, it can't possibly be him, maybe, or if we knew something different about Prometheus that gave, you know, like the fact that, okay, maybe Chase might be, you know, this guy from season one's son, you know, like I guess that sort of gives us a little bit more insight into this villain. But overall, who the villain is and the giant storyline that we're working with is only okay. But the scene itself, they did a good job with, in my opinion, especially that it came right following the scene with Vigilante, so we kind of get caught off guard a little bit, and then we can be conclusively sure that they're not the same person. You know, that was kind of cool, I guess.
Okay. I think we've said enough about Prometheus. Let's kind of switch to the other guy who goes by the name of Vigilante, the other Vigilante in this scene, because that took away from some of our guesses as to who he might be. And now that it's not Adrian Chase, it really throws it up in the air as to who could the Vigilante be. Now, I am not sure myself, because I really wasn't expecting it to not be Adrian. So I'm a little bit clueless at the moment, but I want to inject here that our friend Kelly, the Master Wordsmith, who we haven't heard for a while, actually messaged me today. First off, to apologize that we haven't heard from her in a while. She's just trying to catch up. But she has this theory that she thinks Officer Pike is Vigilante.
Ooh,
and I kind of questioned her about that, because I'm unsure. I find it hard to see why Pike would want to basically snipe Oliver from a distance. I don't see Pike being that, you know, that evil, I guess, to want to put Oliver down. And then I just, when we hear Vigilante speak, it doesn't sound like his voice is being modulated or any effects applied to it. So his voice just doesn't match Pike's.
Right.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I was running with the theory that one of the two of them would be female. And I thought that if one of the two of them was, it would be Prometheus, because that's the one who seems so encased in, like, you know, the way the voice modulation is and the way the costume is and the way we had seen sort of these ninja skills prior that could be akin to Talia.
Yeah, it could have been Talia. That was one theory. Yeah.
Yeah. I had kind of been running with the theory maybe Prometheus is female. So now I'm sort of like, is Vigilante, but I don't think so. So that lowers it down to guys, which, to their credit, there's always more guys than girls on superhero shows, right? Mm-hmm. So that leaves a few options, but none of them really tie to the flashbacks. Whereas having Talia involved would maybe tie to the flashbacks. I don't know.
What do you think, Carly? What do you got, any guesses at Vigilante?
Not any good ones, because, like, just like you, I was convinced that Chase was Vigilante. And so when we got that reveal, I was like, oh, crap. Now I have no idea who Vigilante could be, because I was totally convinced that it was him. I feel like it has to be someone we know, but at the same time, I don't have any good guesses of who it could possibly be. And there's nothing yet in the flashbacks that is giving me any clues.
Well,
could it be Roy?
Rory?
No, not Rory. Roy. Like Roy Harper, the Red Arrow.
Okay.
I don't see why he would want all. Well, I guess he wouldn't really want Oliver dead. He's the out for criminals, and at that point, Mayor Oliver was the criminal.
Yeah, Oliver was way too much of a friend and a brother to him. I don't think it'd be Roy. But here's what I'm thinking: the one point that makes me think Kelly might be onto something is in the courtroom. I thought Oliver had won over Pike to his side of things. And I was surprised when Pike kind of threw him under the bus there and said, well, and he kind of didn't take Oliver's side. And that's the one little point that I'm thinking, maybe he, maybe there's a chance.
Maybe. It's possible.
Because it surprised me. He didn't defend Oliver when I thought he was going to.
Yeah, it makes sense, but would it be a dramatic reveal?
Well, the thing is, Vigilante isn't really doing much for me. I don't find a lot of drama circling around him anyway, so I think the reveal for him is going to be pretty low surprise, I think.
That makes sense.
Okay, well,
What do you think this is? So we talked a little bit about, you know, obviously the two villains, but we sort of have two heroes opposing each other in this episode, but they're the same person, Mayor Oliver and the Green Arrow. What did you think about that sort of paralleling? What did you think of that with Mayor Oliver and the Green Arrow? Same person, but they're having to kind of oppose each other in this episode. And that was kind of paralleling Vigilante and Prometheus opposing each other from the same side in this episode.
This has got me wondering, why would he put himself under the bus like that? I mean, is this his last big attempt to further distance himself from any suspicion that he is the Green Arrow?
Yes.
That's kind of what the line of thoughts that I'm having with that, because again, it was another surprising thing. I was thinking, why is he saying all of that? Why is he trying to you know, black mark his own name? And because he's basically, he's leader of the city, but he's also going to have the city out on the hunt for him now. So why is he going to put that much pressure on himself as the Green Arrow? I don't know.
Charlie, what did you think?
Well, I'm kind of trying to organize my thoughts here. I definitely think it's always a little bit to throw suspicion off of himself as the Green Arrow, because there's just so much information out there. And I mean, we clearly saw Susan was able to track all down enough of the information and put two and two together to figure out who he is, you know, to figure out his identity. So I think that's always part of it. But I think the other part of it was, it's almost kind of like, you know, the Dark Knight syndrome, right? It's not the hero they deserve, but it's the hero they need. So right now they need a scapegoat for the city, kind of. And I mean, I think people have always had very mixed emotions about kind of the evolution of the Hood to the Arrow to the Green Arrow, and you know, what he means and what he represents and what he stands for. And so I think just with him killing Malone, and just there's just not enough information that they can actually put out there so that they know why it was done, you know, it just looks like he's become a cop killer. So I feel like maybe kind of embracing that, it gives the public what they need, and, you know, it gives them a scapegoat for, I don't know, it kind of just like, it's like misdirection or like sleight of hand, you know what I mean? And something kind of like that is along the lines of what I was thinking.
It becomes a matter of, Oliver doesn't need the Green Arrow to be liked. He needs to stay in power, which is a pretty sketchy political strategy, actually. But that is what happened. He sacrificed the public approval for the Green Arrow, but maintained political control. And, you know, they're certainly, you know, like, somebody can maintain a political regime without political approval as long as they still hold power. And that's sort of what he did here. I think one of the things that you mentioned, Flash, was, you know, with him throwing himself under the bus, one of the things to consider there is he's also throwing his team under the bus. Now, he's not tarnishing the name of the other, you know, people who work as vigilantes in the city. You know, he's not specifically naming, like, Mr. Terrific or Wild Dog or any other like code names or Black Canary or whatever. Like, he's not specifically tarnishing their name, but if they are known associates of his, which they are, the police department has, you know, pinpointed known associates of the Green Arrow before, and they know that he has associates now, he is tarnishing their name. He's putting the team at risk. So that, to me, becomes a little bit more of a sketchy decision. It becomes a little bit of a gray area decision, much like Thea's decisions were gray area, because Oliver's choosing to make a sacrifice to stay in power personally as mayor, but that sacrifice puts his team at risk. So it's sort of... It could almost be, especially if you were looking at it like how a villain might mess with his head or tarnish his name, a villain could very easily present that as Oliver put his family and team at risk so that he could maintain power. And that would not be incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, mm-hmm. you make a good argument there and a lot of good points. I don't know where else my thoughts are going on that. I think, in a way, yeah, along what you guys were saying, I think he's going to show the city, or have the city kind of looking at him as the Green Arrow, as Harley was saying, maybe he might not be well-liked right now, but they're going to find out that they need him. And I'm kind of thinking, like, look at back last season, like when he was about to take down Damian Dark, and he got up on the side of that van and he had that huge speech to the city and the whole city was behind him. I mean, that, to me, this felt very opposite or very opposing to that. And I think the city's going to be kind of confused as to what they're supposed to think.
Yeah, for sure. It does seem a bit back and forth as well to ask them to support the hero at one point and then not support them at another point over, you know, fairly unfounded charges. I'm always here willing to drag heroes when they mess up, but to be fair, he did not know that it was a cop that he was killing, you know?
Yeah. Well, we know as viewers, we know that he was completely manipulated.
Right.
Into that.
He wasn't aware. Yeah.
And I guess, this is what the TV show has to do to create drama and stuff. But as a viewer, you're just like, oh, come on, just explain what happened. You got totally manipulated and people should understand. But, you know, we got to have some drama to stretch out the season for sure.
Yeah. The show does thrive in gray area as well. If you look at it in comparison to other superhero shows where there's like a lot more superpowers, a lot more non-human villains, a lot more metahumans just in general, you will see a lot clearer hero versus villain fights. Whereas on Arrow, because, you know, it is a little bit more grounded and gritty and there is gray area and, you know, the people on this team are, you know, people with sketchy pasts and, you know, the daughter of Malcolm Merlyn and the son of Moira Queen. It's definitely expected that, you know, it would be very easy for them to have an identity crisis over whether they are a hero or a villain, because they have all sometimes made choices that either are villainy type choices or could be misconstrued or presented incorrectly to be villainy choices, which is, I think, you know, Thea definitely was front and center on that here this week. What did you think of her and Oliver's sort of dynamic here?
Good segue. You read my mind. I was just thinking, let's switch this over to Thea since it's kind of involved in this line of discussion we're having.
Yeah. I'm curious what you thought of that.
Well, it was a hard scene to watch. That was pretty tough to watch, the scenes between the two of them. I mean, everyone's obviously pointing out the main idea that, wow, Thea's really starting to act more and more like Moira did.
Right.
But I also want to point out, isn't she showing hints of Malcolm as well? Because she spent a lot of time with Malcolm, and as much as she might go on to say how much she hates him, I think he influenced her in a lot of these gray area behaviors.
That's possible as well.
Absolutely. I think so.
Yeah. Now, with Oliver, though, I think he's done all he can to protect her, and with what's happened between the two of them over the 5 seasons, I think he's a little bit more open to what she really needs. And if that space and time, he doesn't want to take that from her, I think he's learned to not always interfere with her life and pretend that he knows what's best. I think he's kind of realized that when he does that, that causes a lot of friction between them, and he ends up losing his little sister. So when she's asking for time and space, he's kind of realizing, I need to give this to her or I'm going to lose her.
I do think that that was a positive in his reaction, that he wasn't as controlling towards her as we have seen him be in previous seasons, especially when she was younger, which I think is, you know, to an extent more understandable. I was left, to put it nicely, confused, I think, by their dynamic. Because Oliver and Thea are all each other really has left in terms of family, other than Malcolm. And, you know, I'm not sure Thea's really counting that. And,
no.
You know, last we saw, Oliver was more willing to partner and learn from Malcolm than Thea was. So I was definitely surprised to see Oliver, who has gone, you know, he's gone to the ends of the earth for Thea before. We've seen multiple long-term storylines where he has risked death, killed people, you know, made deals with the League of Assassins, made deals with Malcolm Merlyn, partnered with horrible people, killed people, whatever, to bring Thea back or to save her life or to protect her. And when Thea is out here, you know, sort of doing what she does to protect Oliver, which, you know, while shady, does not involve killing people, does not involve, you know, dealing with the League of Assassins. And she's doing what is entirely reasonable to protect him and the team, or suggesting different options, whatever. And he's treating her as if she's just like suggesting the most dark, broken things. And I'm like, you're the Green Arrow. Come on, you killed a guy this season because he saw your face. Like, it just seems like such a dramatic response towards her. And I don't get where that's coming from. I, you know, especially over something like Susan, where, you know, she had, you know, we've talked about the fact that it was a risky and unethical situation that was going on with her as well. He chose some reporter he's been dating for 5 minutes over his family. I don't know. It was weird to me. That wasn't the Oliver that I know.
Yeah.
That's... So I do have a little bit of kind of like a counterpoint to this. And I do mostly agree with all the points you're bringing up, Cammie. But kind of how I viewed those scenes was, yes, it was very hypocritical considering who Oliver is and what he has done to protect himself in the past. But I also felt like he was coming more from an angle of he was trying to protect Thea in his actions and kind of protect her from her, almost protect her from herself. And so instead of watching her kind of fall into this like darker path or kind of spiral downwards, he was trying to pull her out from that and just kind of call to her attention, hey, take a look at what you're doing. This isn't you. You're a better person than this. Right. And I sort of view that as more like he was trying to protect her. Now, is it incredibly hypocritical of him? Absolutely. 100%. Although I did love how she was channeling Moira this episode. I loved that. That was
Wasn't
so
it
great.
Beautiful?
Yes, especially that limo scene. Oh, so good.
Yeah. I Thea is not normally one of the characters that I'm like desperately, you know, loving her scenes. I've liked her to an extent at times, and I've disliked her storylines to an extent at times, but I was really pleased with the past couple episodes, and I was sad to see her go, but I was sort of prepared to see her go because I knew that Willa Holland has only been contracted for 14 episodes this season. But I didn't like the grounds on which she went, but the way you present that he was trying to protect her from making these dark choices that he's made, that makes sense. That's a very reasonable, optimistic interpretation. Totally. I hope you are right. I hope so.
Totally. I want her to come back as Speedy. I miss the Speedy side of her. I miss her out on the streets. So, all right, well, let's move into some flashbacks. I think we should probably bring up a couple things about the flashbacks this week, because they're definitely so much better this season, and we've been fairly positive about them all the way through so far. And I think I think with the ones in this episode, it was continuing the story. And what I'm thinking that we saw is Oliver proving to Anatoly that he can be trusted and is a loyal friend and comrade, especially when he was broke into Kovar's office there and got the financial information, and he comes running in at the last moment with that info to save Anatoly. I mean, he's building a brotherhood with him that I don't think Anatoly's going to be able to forsake in the future at all. It's kind of building that trust, that bond, so that when we know that later on in the future when Oliver has to deal with the Bratva, there's that bond that they're always going to be able to fall back on. I don't know. What did you guys think?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, take the lead. All right.
As much as I have been waiting for and up till, well, for most of the season, I've been loving all of the flashbacks and I've been so excited about the Bratva, but this episode was very meh on the flashbacks. So, I don't know. I didn't feel like, I kind of liked how the scenes played out. I just didn't fully understand where they were going, other than giving an explanation for how they took down, not Kovar, the Gregor.
Gregor, right.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, we've been kind of building up to that, and we knew that it had to happen because we've seen Anatoly in the present, and, you know, they allude to what, you know, happened to Gregor, and that I think this is that at some point drive a wedge between him and Anatoly, but I don't know, it was nice to kind of bring that full circle and kind of see some closure to that story, but I honestly could have done without it.
Yeah, I like the, you know, in the flashbacks, there's sort of this running theme of brotherhood that I think is supposed to be preparing Oliver for what would eventually become the Oliver that builds his team in season one. And I, as you've mentioned, the flashbacks so far this season have been fun because of the setting. We like the whole Russia and the KG Beast thing and all of that, right? That's cool. That's fun. The references to his tattoo are fun. With the flashbacks this week, I think rooted in the concept, as you said, of loyalty, it makes sense as a tie to the Prometheus reveal, since loyalty was the feature with Chase, and it's, you know, and then it turns out he's Prometheus. But beyond that, you know, I'm kind of just looking to the flashbacks to see development of Oliver towards the Oliver that we see in season one. And I kind of, you know, I kind of see that if I squint and I know what I'm looking for, but I think I'm ready for the flashbacks to get a bit more obvious and in your face about it. And I'm usually not ready for things to be super obvious and in your face, but right now I, you know, we're getting down to the last few episodes. I'm definitely ready for those references to what becomes, you know, Island Oliver on season one. So, I think they will become more engaging and something we're sort of watching on the edge of our seat when they turn into that.
Well, here's a point. I mean, we really didn't get any conclusion to the flashbacks on this episode because we saw the Russian guys all choose their side and then they pulled out guns and had a quick gunfight. All you see is Oliver hop behind the bar and that's where the scene ends. Right in the middle of the gunfight, so we don't know the outcome of that. We don't know what happened to Gregor or what's going on, so there's still more coming.
Yeah. I don't know, I as I often say, it's not a bad thing to want more because that means it's good. So if it's not necessarily a critique to be like, oh, I'm looking forward to this or that from the flashbacks, because it means the flashbacks are doing well, right? There's certainly been seasons, quite frankly, where I've wanted less of the flashbacks, so...
Right.
Wanting a bit more is a nice welcome change, I think.
Exactly. Well, all right. We have been on some kind of downer topics. Let's get to some fun stuff in this episode, and let's get to Curtis and his and Mr. Terrific's terrific balls of steel. Because, man, this is where I think this episode shined. I thought for sure Curtis and Renee had their best episode together. It just seemed like finally they're, we've been complaining about them being together, but all of a sudden there was chemistry now, and it just shined in this episode. They were right back and forth at each other with the quips and in tune with each other. Like the actors as well as the characters, it just really, really worked this time. And I actually found myself just loving it. And I mean, come on, the T-spheres, everyone has been waiting to see Curtis make this tech come to life. And we finally got it. It's like the origin of Mr. Terrific is happening right before our eyes.
Yeah, I thought the T-spheres thing was pretty cool. I thought it was cool to see it out in the field. It gave a fun new element that didn't feel like anti-aero to me. So it was kind of fun. I'm always all for the team kind of doing new, cool, techie weaponry. That's fun to me. That's always been a part of the action that's been more interesting to me than the fight sequences. So that was cool. It's cool to see Curtis kind of get there so that he has a win at the same time to kind of make up for the big lose at the end with Paul. We all knew that was coming, but it was always hard to watch. What did you guys think of that? Now that Curtis is a single man.
Let's let Harley chime in on the T-sphere stuff first. What'd you think of all that fun stuff?
I thought that was great. I like that they're finally kind of melding Curtis, like between like the techie nerdy stuff and then also letting him develop into a hero. So I am enjoying that journey more now that they're letting Curtis embrace the tech side and kind of working that into his character, as opposed to him just trying to be a vigilante like everybody else is. Like, he needs that techie outlet. So I was really, really happy with that, and I think it's a lot of fun to get to see how he develops all that and gets to work with it. So
yeah, totally
fits his personality so well.
Totally fits him so well. And like you said, Cammy, he got to be out in the field with them, and he actually pretty much won a fight, which we haven't seen. He's been getting beat up so much that it just allowed the tech to give him a win, and it was a huge positive, and I think is just going to boost his confidence and, you know, just make him feel so much more worth something to the team, I guess, because that's what we've seen him struggling with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you brought up the whole thing with Paul, because it was a big switch. He was so excited about going to meet Paul, and I knew that something like this was coming, as you stated in the beginning, Harley, that this whole idea with Paul, it was an unfinished story that they had to tie off somehow. So I kind of sensed that it was coming. And it kind of ties into the comics. I didn't know a lot about Mr. Terrific, so I kind of looked up at the DC Wiki to kind of read some history on him. And in the comics, Mr. Terrific loses his wife and kid. And that's the reason. That's the point that sends him down the path of becoming Mr. Terrific. So I think the TV show is taking that and writing their version of it as he loses Paul, his husband, and this is going to set him onto the path to really dive into being Mr. Terrific.
That does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had heard that Curtis or Mr. Terrific loses his family. So that makes it fit in a parallel way, his storyline.
Right. So, and you know, the TV shows, these DC shows often take creative liberty with what's in the comics. They don't want to redo it word for word or story for story, because it's too predictable for us as viewers. So I think this is just their own take on it, and it makes sense. So now we have to see what Curtis does with that. You know, it's going to be basically balancing his newfound confidence with his tech against his broken heart and possible depression over losing Paul. So we'll have to see what happens with him now. I don't know which way he's going to end up leaning towards. And I hope it's, you know, dive full force into his tech and we really see that, you know, take off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Rory will come back, and that's going to be the season 6 romance for Curtis. Guaranteed. You heard it here first.
Oh, jeez. No more romance. Come on. Let's get off of these romance.
You sound like me.
Let's. We got a couple things we can talk about. We got some Lance Diggle Dinah points
Felicity
we can bring
and
up?
Helix.
Felicity and Helix we haven't dove into. That was another major part of the story. Let's talk about that then. What's your take on that, Cammy?
I was really pleased at the end to see her join Helix, but I feel like that might have been a controversial decision, though, because she had, you know, those scenes with Diggle that I know we talked about, we loved. What did you guys think of that, of her going through with that even after, you know, she had all those morality talks of, is this okay? What do you think of that? What do you think Diggle will think of that?
Chime in, Harley. I'll let you go first on that one.
All right. Well, I'm not sure how I feel about this. I have like kind of mixed emotions about it. Like, I like the fact that she can be like a big contributor to the team in a big way, like more than she normally is, with being able to have access to all of this different information that, you know, will basically like save the day.
Right.
But at the same time, it just feels so out of character for her. And I know they're trying to link it back to like her hacktivist roots and kind of get her back into that mindset of that time frame. Right. But I don't know if that's where I want her character to go. And I don't know anything about Helix in terms of if it's something straight out of the comics or what that's really supposed to be. But to me, it seems like it's not necessarily going to end well. I feel like she's going to kind of get wrapped in and pulled in, and it's going to end up being a bad thing. But maybe I'm wrong because I have no background at all. That's mm-hmm. just kind of the feeling that I'm getting. I mean, they called the tool Pandora's box, and right. nothing good happens when you open Pandora's box. I'm very nervous.
It all sounds Felicity. Very much like villainy stuff from the comics,
yes.
doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It feels like she's turning back into goth Felicity, which was, as she admitted, not a good place for her and not a good look either.
No,
I loved goth Felicity.
I was quoting her.
Yes. But I think, I mean, we were warned a couple of weeks ago that Felicity is going to be taking a dark turn for a little while. Yes. So this is it. That it's now happening, and we see the path that she's going to take. I mean, goth Felicity was her beginnings. It's what right. got her into hacking and pirating and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of in her nature. It's kind of her origin. So I kind of, for someone to dangle that in front of her again, like a big old carrot on a stick, I think it's a little too tempting for her to go back. Because I'm not sure if she's fully overcome that part of her. And I think that's what this storyline is going to be for her, is that she's going to get challenged. She's going to go back into that world. It's going to challenge her. It's going to challenge who she is today. And mm-hmm. she's going to have to make, I think, some tough choices. I have a feeling that girl, I don't remember her name, but the girl who invited her in, yeah. I have a feeling there's something bad about her, like that whether she runs Helix or not, I think they might be using Felicity. I don't feel like that's a big open-armed welcome. I think they've got ulterior
They're
motives
luring
and plans.
Her in for
yeah,
sure.
so.
Yeah.
So that
I
worries
definitely
me.
Think she's going to come up against some moral choices, because sort of everything, you know, in the scenes that she has with Diggle, where they're sort of talking about morality and moral choices, it's not so much a talk about the current choices she's going to make. It's a talk about sort of future choices that she could make, or situations that she could put herself in. And what she does at the end of this episode is she chooses to put herself in those positions, but we don't necessarily know what choices she will make with the information from Helix. She's just choosing to make sure she has access to that power. And I thought that was an interesting comparison to what Oliver chooses to do by choosing to stay on as mayor, even though he has to turn against the Green Arrow and sort of like lie and say that, you know, he doesn't support the Green Arrow when he does. You know, he is openly lying as mayor to keep access to power, as the power of being mayor, right? And with Felicity, she's sort of saying she's going to go along with Helix, and she may, but she's just, she says her motivation is she wants to make sure she has access to that information. She wants to make sure she has it if she needs it. So I thought that was an interesting parallel. And I think that going forward, we're going to see her come across choices where her morality is going to be tested. But thus far, unlike Thea, her moral compass has stayed to, you know, she got Susan her job back, which in my opinion is not even necessary because Susan did what she needed to do to lose her job, frankly. But nonetheless, Felicity got Susan her job back. She has, you know, only tried to protect people. She's made threats, but she has, you know, like with the Russian mob thing, but she didn't like follow through and kill anybody. So she's consistently made those choices where she hasn't reached the place where she has made, it's not that she's never made a wrong choice, but she's never made the morally questionable choice that I think she's going to come up against.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally with you there. I think that's why I said I think she's going to be challenged by this Helix place for sure. Or these Helix people. I think they're going to put her in a position where those decisions aren't going to be so easy.
Yeah.
But
it'll be cool.
The one positive
out of that, though. We get to see her in a black coat, so.
The one positive out of that, though, is the two huge scenes we got of Felicity and Diggle, because we've been wanting some of that. And it was so good to see that, and Diggle showing his concern for her, and just the history between, you know, our trio. But you could just see it between these two. It's very, very real.
Mm-hmm.
They're not their chemistry, but just their relationship and how deep it's grown over these 5 years. And I just loved it. It didn't matter that they were at odds. It didn't just Diggle giving his advice and kind of putting his hand on her shoulder. Those kind of scenes make me feel at home with Errol.
Yeah. So much history there with them.
Mm-hmm. Harley, any other thoughts on that little bit?
No, I mean, I did enjoy the scenes with the two of them for sure. It was nice to kind of see the two of them back together. And I'm kind of with Diggle. It's not Felicity. I don't get what she's doing.
Cool. Well, I got two questions for you two. The one that I'm just unsure of myself. When did Oliver admit to Susan that he is the Green Arrow? It seems like they either missed a scene, or is it just that she's so adamant about it, she's going with it until he admits it, and he sort of did.
I think it's said.
It is. Yeah. I mean, basically, when she confronted him was it the last episode?
Yeah.
So in the last episode, she confronted him with all of the information, and then basically said, I've lost, you know, I came to you with all of this and now I've lost my job, and, you know, don't lie to me. So if the next word's going to out of your mouth is going to be a lie, just don't say anything. And he doesn't say anything.
So that was the admittance right there, pretty much.
It was admission through omission, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
Right.
And then I think he more or less confirmed it in this episode tonight Anyway, the episode we're talking about. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm gonna.
You're fine.
The episode. Yeah. So he basically kind of confirmed it when he's like, "And what are you gonna do with the information you found out?" I don't know if he went as far to say like with his secret identity, but she said that she would keep the secret.
Yeah.
Right.
So that he admitted it without admitting it. And then that line of questioning right there admitted it.
Solidified it pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And he did say, "Thanks, I appreciate that." So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she knew that somebody was willing to go to whatever lengths to have her lose her job and all that, you know, if you poke and there's a lot of backlash, it's probably true.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now the second thing I want to check in with you on is that ending. Because there was a lot of chatter about how it's funny that as soon as Prometheus was revealed to be Chase, all of a sudden he became extremely creepy. And like he just lost all sense of anybody liking him anymore. So bringing that to the very end of the episode, what... I found it so strange to end the episode on that, with him confronting Susan, and like, what do you guys think? What does that ending mean? Because he kind of leaves it with a question.
I think they are hoping that we care about her so that it's an actual cliffhanger.
Oh, you are so cruel. There's the villain.
I'm so sorry, but I don't get why Thea left town, and that was just sort of like one of the final scenes, and Thea is like his last remaining family member, and then this reporter who he's like dated for 5 minutes is in the presence of a villain after she's like been talking to villainy people to try to investigate him for ages, and it's like, that's the cliffhanger, guys. A reporter who's like hung around with villainy people is hanging around with a villainy guy again. Oh no. Like, I don't get it.
He was definitely very menacing in that scene, I will say. You can tell that he had an ulterior motive. It's almost like he was waiting for them to patch things up so that he could enact whatever the next phase of his plan might be. I don't know. Did Chase push Oliver to date her in the first place? Does anybody remember?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh.
Because now you have to remember that Chase is Prometheus. And so this is what I'm talking about.
Very good question.
Yeah, that I want to go back and almost rewatch these scenes because I think he is playing a very, very long game. And now that
would change everything if he had sort of like
pushed them together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and so
that's a really good question.
Yeah, so she does all this digging and she threatens to out him, and then there's this whole big thing, and then they kind of reconcile and now they're stronger than ever, whatever. You know, this girl he's dated for 5 minutes, as you put it.
I say that with all the love in my heart.
What little exists.
Right.
<I'm just kidding. laughs> But yeah, so I think now he has kind of tried to forge this bond and get, you know, he's gotten Oliver to invest in some sort of relationship, and now he's going to do his best to kind of pull the rug out from underneath him.
Yeah. No, That makes sense.
Well, I think, Cammie, I'm going to task you with diving into that history and see if you can find any connections. That would be interesting.
I have to watch Susan's scenes again. Okay, I will. I will do that, and I will report back next week. Ready to blame the travesty that was Oliver and Susan on Prometheus. I would be happy to do that.
Think of it that you're only watching Prometheus scenes. Because there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the way you think, Carly.
Yeah, see? You know?
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
Good thing I'm fast.
I've got a really big hammer.
Yes. With long reach, too. All right, squad. Let's get to some transmissions. We've covered a lot of ground here, so we got a couple emails, and we got a voicemail in. So let's kick it off. We had one from I'm Just Here for Felicity.
Feedback that we got from I'm Just Here for Felicity. Love hearing from her. She says, it's great to see Curtis in his element in the lab. Susan and Dinah continue to be great additions to the show. Looks like Felicity isn't the only one we have to worry about getting dark, since Thea is definitely flirting with that side as well, it seems. I know they can't kill Oliver yet, but come on, at that range, and if he's as good a shot as he says he is, Vigilante should totally have shot Oliver. Not surprised that Adrian Chase is Prometheus, but I am surprised they revealed it so soon. They could have used Evelyn to show she still exists to attack Vigilante and keep Adrian a secret. Why reveal him now? I miss you involved already, Thea. Poor Curtis at the end. A really good episode. There's a lot of good points in there from I'm Just Here for Felicity.
Yeah.
Especially the point about, you know, they didn't have to reveal Prometheus right away. They could have had Evelyn fight off Vigilante. That's a good plot point. And everybody flirting with the dark side. I mean, obviously, I always support that. So,
yes.
Yeah. Well, and just a little quick quip about Vigilante should have totally shot Oliver. Yeah. I mean, there was actually a few scenes like that when he was shooting at Curtis and Wild Dog as well. There wasn't much space between them, and I mean, Wild Dog was running straight down a hallway and Vigilante was shooting right at his back. He would have nailed him a few times, but no. So it's, yeah, that the action scenes were at some of those moments were a little bit questionable. But thank you. I'm just here for Felicity. That was a great email. Our next one in we got from Scarlet Vixen.
And she says, it's been a few episodes since I've written in. Just wanted to say you two are doing an awesome job. Thank you. We live for the applause. Oh. And I look forward to the podcast every week. She said she thought it was pretty good, about a 6.5, maybe a 7. And here are her pros. She liked that we got to figure out who Prometheus was. She liked Felicity's dark path and her talks with Diggle and Thea. More Felicity and Thea, please, she says. And she enjoyed the dynamic between Curtis and Renee, plus the T-spheres. Here are her cons, though. She says, Oliver's trying to make things right with Susan, but, dude, you are about to possibly be impeached. Focus on that. And what was up with asking Felicity to help? So glad she took the high road and said, sure, whatever, I will help you, because my response would have been completely different. I'm over the Susan Williams storyline, and I'm not seeing how we, the viewers, are supposed to feel invested in this relationship. Not sure what the writers are doing with this one, but I can't get behind it. Lastly, poor Curtis. I saw that ending coming a mile away. And from the looks of it, so did Renee. The flashback didn't do much for me this episode. Can't wait for the next one. Have a great weekend.
Well, I have to say thanks, Scarlet Vixen, for your compliments. That always makes us feel better that we've got some support behind me and Cammy taking over the show here. So that was much appreciated.
Also, some great thoughts in there. And I love hearing specifically people's pros and cons.
Yeah.
You have pros and cons from your episodes. We'd love to hear those from you.
Definitely. And she actually brought up a point I forgot to say during the show, was that scene with Oliver asking Felicity to help him with Susan. I thought, how dare you? That's pretty bold of you, Oliver, to do that. And I can totally understand Felicity's discomfort there. That made me uncomfortable. You just don't do that. You don't ask your previous relationship to help you deal with the current one. That's just weird. Yeah. It's very, very weird. So, yeah.
I thought it was particularly weird because he just killed her boyfriend.
Right?
They were engaged less than a year ago. They fell apart because he kept lying to her. Stephen Amell just did a Q&A on Facebook tonight, and he was answering some questions about this and that scene in particular, because a lot of people definitely were rubbed the wrong way about the way that was written. It felt a little bit like character assassination for Oliver. And Amell was acknowledging, you know, like with the whole thing with Felicity before, you know, they had built the relationship on trust, and then he betrayed her trust, you know, in season 4 by lying about his kid. And he was saying, you know, Felicity should walk away. And the whole thing with the issue tonight, it was sort of in last night's episode, it was sort of a mishandling of the situation, certainly, because he is sort of wanting to rectify the trust with Susan, obviously, but also, you know, there's certainly rightful reasons to point out why, you know, he just killed his ex-fiance's boyfriend and is going to her for relationship help with a reporter who puts her personally at risk. It definitely feels questionable.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
There was something
I've made some questionable decisions in my time, but I've never done that.
One other thing that she had said was about Wild Dog also recognizing that the end of Curtis's marriage was coming from a mile away. That is so true. Yeah. Wild Dog was kind of trying to give him the hint that, you know, dude, don't be so excited about this. I don't got a good feeling about it. I realized that, yeah, he was recognizing that. So good points. Good points for sure. Thank you, Scarlet Vixen. It's good to have you back. All right. And we got one more email from Christy. Harley, you want to give this one a read? We'll let you take one.
All right, that sounds good. All right, Christy says, revealing who Prometheus is in the middle of the episode was strange to me. It just seemed kind of haphazard for him to remove his hood after fighting Vigilante. That's true. But now the DA has much more depth to his character, and I can't wait to see why he hates Oliver so much. Yeah. I think having the police being against Green Arrow is a storyline that we've seen in seasons 1, 2, and 3 already. So seeing it again now is a bit repetitive.
That's a good point.
Very good. Lots point, of good Christy. Points. Yeah, and I'm totally with her about wanting to know why Chase hates Oliver so much. That's what I was trying to get into earlier. Mm-hmm. Is it, does he hate him so much, or is he trying to wake Oliver up to realize something or to learn something? It's an angle I just can't decide on which way Chase is coming at him from.
I still feel like it's the revenge angle, personally.
Okay.
But that's me.
Based on your theory that it's Chase's the son that we were talking about. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I think revenge would make sense.
I think we're going to have to go back and rewatch that episode with the mom just to get the names right, or at least watch that scene again so we can connect the name of the father and son that were in the book to see if it is connected to Chase and their...
Right.
I think it was just the father in the book. I think right? Mm-hmm. Okay. It wasn't the father and the son in the book. Right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had that straight in my head.
Because what's making me rethink about that again, Harley, is that when Oliver went to see the mother, the mother had no idea where her son was, and she was defending him and protecting him. Says, he's a good boy. I'm not going to deal with it. Because Chase is all over the TV. He's fully in the public eye that he's alongside Oliver's side. So... unless the mom is completely oblivious to that kind of stuff. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Well, we are going to have time to go back and watch these scenes because that is a news point for us. We are actually going on hiatus for 3 weeks. We have 3 weeks before the next Arrow episode.
Are you serious? 3 weeks? I thought it was just 1 week.
No, we have 3 weeks before the next Arrow episode. Oh. It won't be until... March 22nd.
Wow. Okay, that's a bit of time.
I know. So, if you have to go back and look for any previous scenes, look for Prometheus's effect on Oliver and his long con, you've got plenty of time to do so.
Yeah, and well, maybe we can get some of our listeners and viewers of Arrow to kind of help out with that, because there was a few things I think we got confused about this episode.
Oh, for sure.
So maybe they can chime in and help us clear a few of the things up that we were trying to work our way through tonight.
Yeah. Drag us in the comments.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that, Christy. We've got one last feedback, and of course, it's a voicemail from our friend Green Butterfly. Let's see what she has to say.
Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky, Green Butterfly. There was a lot of things to like about this episode. Cool action scenes. Felicity had some pretty cute season one Felicity type lines, although I am still seriously worried about the path that this character is on, and I'm not very happy that Thea is leaving again. But all in all, I'm happy with the episode, and happy that we finally get the answer to who is Prometheus. Unfortunately, now we know Prometheus is in Oliver's mayoral office inner circle. That is going to cause some serious drama. My favorite part of the episode was Mr. Terrific with his new spheres. And the camaraderie forming between Wild Dog and Curtis. Very sad that Paul won't give being the husband to a superhero another chance. Did we know that there was a doctor in on Oliver's secret? I totally didn't know that. I thought that's why we were always fixing bullet holes in the Arrow Cave. Oliver is doing what's best for the city, even if it means making himself public enemy number one. This episode gets 9 out of 10. Sometimes the superhero has to be the villain to save the city. Happy Superhero Friday, everyone. Green Butterfly out.
You know, there's one thing that Green Butterfly never fails at, and that's bringing positive light to everything we talk about.
Yes, we love hearing from her.
She asked quickly about the doctor at the hospital, and I just want to confirm that we have seen her in a few scenes, where she already knew. I mean, there was the scene, if you remember, when Laurel was dying in the hospital, they brought her to the hospital as Black Canary, and they had to rip all of her clothes off and get her so they could perform surgery. So at that moment, the doctor knew. And I recall one or two other scenes when Arrow was in there himself and she was the tending physician. So, and that's what I was referring to, is that there's been some history with them. We just haven't seen a lot of it, but she's the doctor that they can, that he can count on. So it's great.
Yeah.
So thanks, Green Butterfly.
Quick correction to something I said before. The Arrow writers had tweeted that it wasn't until March 22nd, and they tweeted out a correction. It's actually March 15th is when our next episode will be, so we have a 2-week hiatus.
Oh, Good. Glad you found that, because what if we didn't come back for 3 weeks?
I did a real quick fact check on that. It was, they originally said the 22nd, but we gained a week, you guys.
Awesome. Well, want to say thanks to everybody for your feedback. I guess we're going to have a bit of a break. So I think, Harley, why don't we invite the squad over to Tomorrow's Legends for the next couple of weeks? Because I don't think we have that big of a hiatus, do we?
No, we don't. And actually, I don't think we have any hiatus at all left. So.
All right. Well, if you are bored out there, squad, take a look at Legends of Tomorrow, because it is a fantastic season if you're not already into it already, and then come join me and Harley over at Tomorrow's Legends. You'll find us at our Facebook page, Tomorrow's Legends, and also on Twitter, at Tomorrow's Legends as well. Other than that, how about you guys, Cammy? Where can people find you?
You can find me at Cammy and Ray on Twitter. I also do some live streamed after shows, after Arrow, and some other fun things. And you can find that on my Facebook or my Twitter, pretty much any social media site. I'm probably there most of the time.
Awesome. Harley, anywhere else you want people to come find you, or Tomorrow's Legends swinging your hammer is good enough?
If people want to find me on Twitter, I'm not tweeting a ton, but I am at Jess in Atlanta. And as Martin said, come and join us over on Tomorrow's Legends. We'd love to have you over there.
Cool. Well, we loved having you here with us, Jess, because we had a week off. Yes. So it's fun to have you with us and give us a different perspective on Arrow. And plus, it's kind of like full circle history coming on, because you and me started this whole podcasting journey on Arrow as guests. So
we now, did. And now you're a host.
And now I'm a host and I'm inviting you over. So yeah, it's a very full circle story.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for having me. It's been a blast. Cammy, it was awesome to talk to you.
Yes, it was so cool to talk to you too. It was so cool to have another villainess on the show. I loved it.
You guys are actually rather kind, I'll have to say. Whew, I got away with that.
The first time will be kind. Just wait
till next time.
Oh yeah. My God, dun, dun, that dun. Was in stereo. Dun, Did you dun, hear that? All right, well, on that note, I better get my fleet feet out of here. This is The Flash, signing off.
This is Harley Quinn. I'm out.
And I'm Cammy. Goodbye.
Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.